It's good to see you. Today we're going to talk about Christ, Creator and Savior, mostly out of the book of Colossians. So one of the reasons that Jesus came into the world was to show us what God was like, because God is invisible. So with your physical eyes, you cannot see God. With the eyes of faith, we can see a lot about God. Paul wrote a letter to the church in Colossae because there was a dangerous false teachings that was threatening and undermining the centrality of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the message was becoming a strange mixture of truth and pagan philosophy. And you know, it might have been going on then, but it's still going on. Sometimes we want to be user-friendly. In other words, we're going to not share the full gospel because we certainly wouldn't want to offend anyone. Well, that is heresy. So Paul emphasizes the true character and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the realization of the invisible God. And he reveals who God is. So let's pray. Thank you, Father, for showing us who you are through your only begotten Son, Jesus. Open up the eyes of our understanding and grant us ears to hear. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and guard our hearts so that we might recognize the truth and what it is. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to first look at Colossians 1:15. Who is Jesus? So the scripture says he is the image of the invisible God. So we just had talked about what is God like. We can't see him because he's invisible. But Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. So the first sentence relates him to the whole universe as its Lord. He is the firstborn son, does not mean son in the physical sense like we would think, because Christ is from eternity. This phrase expresses oneness with God in his life and his nature. God exists from eternity as three persons as one. That's hard for us to understand, but it is one of the foundational truths of the church. Three persons in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Before Jesus was born in Bethlehem, he was truly God, as much as the Father or the Holy Spirit. So he is God, the direct expression of the invisible God, the Lord of the universe. The Lord Jesus is the head and the originator of all things. He existed before creation. He is eternal. He was before the world was made. He existed before he was born of the Virgin. He had a being before all time began. Let's look at the book of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, because John provides us a compelling profile of God, who is marvelously revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. This is, you know, I was thinking I wanted to memorize whole books of the Bible, and I don't know about you, but it's pretty difficult sometimes to think of that. But this is where I started. In the beginning, it says in verse 1, was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing that has been made was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of man. John 1, yeah, for those who are looking. In him was life, and that life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John, and that's John the Baptist. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So yes, he always was. You know, that's hard for a natural person to understand. We think of him coming as a babe in the manger. But he's the one that spoke the worlds into existence. So the answer to the question, from where did the universe come, is plainly stated in the scripture we just read. For every effect or result, there must be a cause. Christ is the first cause. Science can determine the first effect, but science, apart from God's creation, the creative act, cannot determine the first cause. God created the world out of nothing. He spoke, and the worlds were. So we're going to look at Hebrews 11:3. And the Bible says in Hebrews, chapter 11, which is the faith chapter, by the way, but we're not picking on the first verse this time. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So faith accepts the fact that God in Christ is the source of the universe. So the basic element in all matter is power, and that power is the power of God. God spoke, and the word of his power created matter. Scientists now know that matter can be changed into power. They also know if you could concentrate enough power, you can change power to matter. Can you imagine God's power being so omnipotent, so powerful, that he needed only to speak, and the power of the word brought the worlds into being? So in the beginning, God created. And the Hebrew word here is bara. There was nothing. So God created out of nothing. Nobody can do that. No one. Only God, our Creator, our Lord, our Master. All that lives, seen and unseen, angels, principalities, powers, no matter how great or powerful, were created by and for Him, from atoms to suns. He is superior to them all, for He brought them into being. He holds the galaxies in place. He controls all the laws of the universe and is the wonder of wonders. He is concerned about every minute detail of our lives. To me, that is the most wonderful part of Scripture, is He cares for each one of us individually. He determines the exact proportion of oxygen in the air for breathing, and then He feeds the plants without breathed carbon dioxide. He warms the earth with the sun, which is just the right distance away from the earth for life to exist. This mighty Creator came to earth in the form of human flesh to provide for our salvation. Hallelujah. That is cause for shouting. The key to knowing God is Christ Himself, the visible Son of God. He revealed the Almighty God is loving, Heavenly Father, holy and altogether righteous, who seeks our love and fellowship. Consider how important your head is to you. It thinks, it controls, it sees, it initiates all the actions carried on in our body. But you know, most of our fears and failures would disappear if we lived in constant awareness that Christ is our head. Let's look at Colossians 1 again, but this time we're going to look at 15 through 20. And Christ is first presented as head of creation and then as head of the church. So Christ is the head or the controlling force of His body, the church. So let's continue by reading Colossians 1, 15 through 20. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or authorities. All things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Paul wrote the letter to the Colossians to correct errors that had crept into the church. So we learn from him that the best way to correct errors is by a positive statement of truth. Present Christ in all His fullness and power. In Christ, we see God, who is near, who cares, who hears, who pities, and who saves. This approach is powerful as well as practical and effective. And even now, as we are the body here, these are the things we need to be doing as representatives of Jesus Christ. The more the Lord Jesus has preeminence or superiority in our lives, the more established we are in our faith. The more we put off the old nature and put on the new nature, the more truly we can represent what it means to be a Christian. The more we let God's word live in our hearts, the more we will live according to his plan for us. The more we yield to Christ, the more his peace will reign in our hearts and lives. A popular monk in the Middle Ages announced in the cathedral that evening he would preach a sermon on the love of God. So the people gathered and stood in silence, waiting for the service, while the sunlight streamed through the beautiful windows. When the last glint of color had faded from the windows, the old monk took a candle from the altar. So walking to the life-size figure of Christ on the cross, he held the light beneath the wounds of the feet. Then his hands, then his side. Still, without a word, he let the light shine on the thorn-crowned brow. This was his sermon. The people stood in silence and wept. They knew they were at the center of a mystery beyond their knowing, that they were looking at the love of God, the image of the invisible God, giving himself for us, a love so deep, so inclusive, so expansive, so powerful, so complete, that the thought of the mind could not comprehend nor measure it, or words express it. Paul knew that too. He came back to it again and again, the purpose and power of the cross. It took the sacrificial love of Jesus, fully expressed on the cross, to bring that change necessary for us to come back to God. We are encouraged to pray and to introduce others to Christ. When we know Christ Jesus personally ourselves, we can introduce others to him. When they meet him, they will want to receive him in their lives. It's easier than you think. Today, people need to hear that God loves them and has provided a way for them to be separated from their sin and guilt. When they believe that Christ died on the cross for them personally, they will receive the Spirit of God in their lives. And God's Spirit will transform their lives and change conduct and character. Then they will have power to serve mankind in love and live a life pleasing to God. You know, I remember the times I had prayed for Don to know Jesus. He thought he knew, but he only knew him in his head, not in his heart. But the difference that it made in his life, there was such a glow, such a glory that came upon him. And that was, what, in 1985? And you saw that he is still talking about Jesus to people and still encouraging them and still telling him there's only one way. So to know what God is like, we must know Christ Jesus, for the fullness of Christ is in him. So as Jesus spoke, it was the voice of God speaking. As he walked, it was the feet of God walking. As he saw the needs of the people, it was the eyes of God seeing them as individuals whom he could help. Not only did he come to reveal God, but to bring completion and fulfillment into our lives through our personal invitation for Christ to become our Savior. We are complete in him. We are often content to struggle with our weak resources when we have in Christ his all-sufficiency, enough to meet our every need. If we need strength, he is our strength. If we need peace, he is our peace. If we need patience, he is our patience. In ourselves, we are nothing. In him, we are everything. Knowing it is available is not enough. We must appropriate it. In other words, we must take possession of it. It's not something you inherit. It's something you ask for and receive. So the life of Christ today is still being written in living letters. And we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 and 3. Because we are those living letters, because Christ lives in us. So we are the letter known and read by those who will never pick up a Bible to read about Christ. They can see and read our lives, which continually express Jesus' love and transforming power. I guess my question to you is, what type of a letter are you? You know, sometimes it's hard to smile and be happy, or to be content. But we have to remember, there's always somebody watching us, whether we realize it or not. I remember speaking at a church, and a lady came up to me, and she said, "I've admired you for years." And I thought, "You have?" I wasn't even sure I knew her name. But isn't it wonderful to know that you don't have to know everybody, but you can still be read as a letter? It's awesome. So 2 Corinthians 3, 2 through 3 confirms this. Starting verse 2, "You yourselves are a letter written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." You know, Some people will never come here. They will never, no matter how hard you try to convince them to come to a church, will come. But you can be a letter to them. They can come to know Jesus Christ through you. You know, Paul was chained to a soldier who kept him when he wrote this letter. So how important was it for him to relate the message that Jesus is the way, the only way? It isn't through what you can learn through other sources, through pagan things, or through, God help us, evolution. But we need to know the truth. So Paul was chained to a soldier who kept him, and he signed his own name to the letter. And the chains he wore moved across the paper as he wrote. And he closed with the typical phrase of his, "Grace be with you." What a wonderful word, God's grace. His favor and blessing carries in it all the love he expressed in his gift of salvation. We began our Christian lives with God's grace. We are kept by God's grace. We live by God's grace. God's grace will bring us into the very presence of him and to live eternally with him in the fullness of joy. Grace is needed that we may give Christ Jesus preeminence, first place in our lives, and recognize his supremacy, his sufficiency, and his completeness in our daily lives. Christianity is not a religion. You know, people ask, what religion are you? Christianity is not a religion, but a person. It is Christ in me, the hope of glory. Jesus showed us how much he loved us when he died for our sins. Next, he freely provides us with a new nature. His own nature in us will make the necessary changes. However, since he gave us a will of our own, he does not come in by force, but he will come in if you ask. So the nature of Christ's spirit and our spirit are opposite. One hungers for God and desires to please him. And the other hungers for material things and wants to please self. We must decide daily which appetite we will satisfy. You can't do that all by yourself. I know people say they can, but without Jesus, without the presence of the Holy Spirit and his power, you can't do it. There's no way. So before we become a Christian, our lives are controlled exclusively by one nature, our own. But when we become Christians, we acquire a new nature which also wants to express itself. The new nature understands and responds to God's will for us. Then we want to talk to God. We want to read his word. And we are compelled, literally, to tell others about Christ and what he has done in our lives. You have no idea what your testimony can do for someone. it's an amazing thing. And sometimes you can say, well, I don't have that great of a testimony. But it doesn't matter what you think. It matters what Holy Spirit thinks. And he's the one who drew you to that person in the first place, right? I mean, this man was in his 90s that Don shared with us. And he still thought he was a mistake. You know, sometimes it's just a divine appointment in someone's life to encourage them and let them know God does not make a mistake. We are all worth it. We are all part of the kingdom of God when we receive him as our Lord and Savior. So there is a life of victory for us if we would just surrender to God's Spirit. Surrender to him makes all the power of heaven available to us. The old nature walks by sight, but the new nature walks by faith. There is nothing else that I can add. And I would just like to pray. Father, sometimes we feel like nothing's right, nothing's working right. But when we have you, Jesus, as our Lord, and we hear your voice speaking to us, we can walk with you, and you will show us, because you are the light to our path. Father, forgive us for trying to do things in our own strength, in our own way. Let us move forward in faith, knowing that you're the one that accomplishes every good work in us. And you will complete that on the day of Jesus Christ. We praise you, Lord, for your wonderful word. Do a new work in us. In Jesus' name, amen.